You're listening to Crime Hive, and this is another true crime story of how they were caught. Now, this story takes place in the spring of 2005 with a woman named Lori Leonard. She became a single mother of two boys and had recently moved to Chittenango, if I'm saying that correctly, from Syracuse, New York. So she's still in New York, and she's, in a sense, starting over. And she gets a job as a bartender. She moves into this new apartment. And on May 4th of 2005, she was supposed to drop her boys off at school. The next morning, she doesn't show up to drop them off. And family immediately get concerned and they call police. From what I understand, the boys ended up with family members. And I'm not quite sure how that came about, but they were fine. But their mother was missing. And so police were called out to investigate. And they would quickly find her vehicle still parked near the apartment. They search inside her apartment, and there's no sign of a struggle. There's no forced entry. No valuables seem to be missing. It just seemed like a fairly normal apartment. There was boxes still everywhere. Investigators found the bed had no sheets on it, but there was one female shoe on top of the bed, and the other shoe was missing. So they did think that was odd, but they didn't really have any evidence that a crime had been committed. You know, they didn't have a body. The hospitals didn't have anyone in the emergency. So they didn't really have a whole lot they could do at that point. And Lori's family would continue to give police info. And they would tell police that she was online dating and looking for a new man for the boys and to have a new family. And the day she went missing, she apparently told family members that she was going to drive 2 hours away to Albany, New York, for some New York Yankee tickets from an unknown man that she met at a casino. And apparently she worked at a casino. And this man said he had extra tickets. And what was odd, according to family, was that they were going to meet at this hotel. So it was a strange scenario. But police quickly located this man. And this man would deny ever meeting up with Lori. And this man was married, but he denied any type of affair, said that she actually didn't show up at the hotel that day, that she went missing. And he thought she blew him off. And the hotel video would actually show that the man was there by himself and no one else, including Lori, was there. So police start looking at all these other men on the dating sites that were in contact with Lori, but none of them seemed to pan out. Then on July 24th, 2005, a fisherman at Champlain Canal in New York, still in New York here, sees this shiny object just below the water. He retrieves it, thinking he has something unique. And so he basically pulls it with his boat to shore, discovers it's this large toolbox from a pickup truck. You know, commonly found in pickup trucks, these large metal toolboxes. It's about 4 feet long. And he thinks he's going to open it up and find a treasure trove of tools or other goodies. But instead, he would find the decomposed body of a woman and he would call police. And it was immediately apparent that this person was Lori because there was a casino ID with the name Lori Leonard. And there was a tattoo she had that family were able to identify as belonging to Lori. And police discovered this was a gruesome attack. Her hands and her feet were bound. Her face apparently was wrapped in duct tape like a mummy. So she has all this duct tape around her. There's a bandana stuffed in her mouth. They find the other shoe in this box, in this toolbox. And so they concluded that she was most likely not killed in her apartment. They couldn't find any trace evidence or anything like that. They did determine the cause of death was asphyxiation, the manner being strangulation. And there was apparently a sexual assault. And apparently this person thought that maybe this box would just sink and would not come back up. had apparently put these sand tubes in there for weighing it down. And these sand tubes are like sandbags, basically. The problem was this toolbox was airtight. Lori's body decomposing would fill up with gases. And the gases actually helped bring her body up the surface. Even though it was weighed down and it was in the water at an unknown depth, it still somehow managed to get near the top with those gases in her body. The family would recognize the bandana that was in her mouth because there was a man who helped Lori move, and he wore them all the time. And his name was Sean Doyle. And he apparently was the last person to see her. Police learned that he apparently had dated Lori. And so now they're surmising that he potentially was jealous that she was starting to date other people and wasn't really serious with him. And family was even creeped out by this guy. They didn't really think he was very social, didn't want to really interact with anyone other than Lori. He had previous arrests in the past for assault, domestic violence-related cases. A neighbor would also reach out to police after learning he was a possible suspect because he had a toolbox on his truck that he had just purchased. When Lori disappeared, the toolbox was no longer on his truck. And he would even go as far as denying that he owned one of these toolboxes. But detectives were actually able to confirm that he had bought one. The cashiers even remembered him purchasing it, and they quickly learned that he was lying. He was being deceptive. Furthermore, investigators learned Sean Doyle now had a spray-on. Furthermore, investigators learned that Sean no longer had a plastic liner in the back of his pickup truck. So in the bed of his pickup truck, he now had a spray-on liner, and it appeared new. It was newly done. The problem was forensics could no longer get evidence from the back of the truck because the sealing from this process, the spray-on process, would remove any potential forensic evidence. And so they did the next best thing. And they find out where he had the work done. So they go to the company, and sure enough, the old plastic liner was still at the company. They still had it. And so police were able to collect it for potential evidence. They did find some evidence. They found some hairs that they would test that would be consistent with Lori's hairs. But the problem was they soon determined it wouldn't hold up in court because she most likely was in the back of his truck. They were moving boxes. He was helping her move. So it was likely that her hairs would be in the back of the truck. They didn't have any other evidence from that bed liner. So they keep digging. Police would search Sean's home and find duct tape that would be consistent with the duct tape wrapped around Lori's head. They start building more and more evidence. They start looking at the sand tubes. And these sand tubes are unique. They actually have lot numbers on them that tells you where they were packaged and when, you know, how they were produced. You can get some very good information from these lot numbers. Turns out that at his property were the same brand of sand tubes, and the lot numbers matched from in the house to the toolbox where Lori's body was found. And then to add on to that evidence, in his glove box of his truck was a toolbox key with a serial number that matched the serial number to the toolbox itself. So the key in the glove box matches the toolbox that was found by the fisherman. With that evidence, they were able to arrest Sean. And in January of 2006, another surprise, an ex-girlfriend of Sean testified in court that she had gone through a very similar experience as Lori, but she made it out alive, obviously. But she would go on to testify that she had been tied up by him in a similar fashion. So her hands and feet were bound. He even shoved a bandana in her mouth. But luckily, her mother heard these muffled sounds and ran downstairs and actually found Sean in the act of trying to duct tape her mouth. She screams at him and actually gets him out of the house, you know, basically runs him out of the house. And what's unclear, I'm sure there's maybe some other articles about it, but it doesn't sound like this was reported for whatever reason. There may not have even been a report on it, but had there been, he may have been arrested and maybe even convicted and served some time for this. But for whatever reason, it was not reported or it wasn't documented in a way that would get him arrested. So one other piece of evidence that I thought was interesting, though, that really helped in this conviction was the bandana. Police had actually interviewed Sean earlier on. He was already a potential suspect, and they took a picture of him. Well, he was wearing the same bandana as the one found in Lori's mouth. It's the same color and brand. So very similar right there. So all these little pieces of evidence would convict him and he would get a sentence of 25 years to life. Pretty crazy in my opinion. He could potentially be out earlier. It's possible. Maybe he's out earlier than 25 years. I don't know. But that was how he was caught. One last thing, just keep an eye out for my website that's going to be live soon. I'm just putting some finishing touches on it. It's not going to be perfect. It will continue to evolve, but it will be a platform for everyone and the ability to build a community. So keep an eye out on that. I will have a Patreon and all sorts of other stuff going on, and we'll see you next week.
Crime Hive.